What is happening, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Talk To Me, the show where I get my friends to talk to me. Now, before I introduce our guest tonight, today, this morning, this evening, whenever you're listening to this thing, it is Movember, and that is why the handlebars are out. That is why the CD Mo is out. I'm just looking at it in the screen, and it looks gorgeous. It's Movember. Anytime you see this face, just remember there's a guy in your life that is too afraid to talk, so make sure you talk to him. Now, today, Talk To Me gets back underway, and it is underway with Phil. Phil, welcome, mate.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for jumping on, buddy. How are you?
Very good. I didn't do Movember this year because this could be the last year I have a beard for a while, so I don't know.
Why is that?
So, because I might be getting into fireys. Well, I am getting into fireys, just don't know when I'm starting, but one of the requirements is I have to shave.
Really? The yes. entire time?
Yeah, because face mask has to be sealed onto your face. It can't have that if you've got a beard.
How's he doing with audio? He's a bit soft. Can you get closer to that mic, man?
How's this?
There we go. So we thought we tested it, but it didn't work out too well.
I have a naturally soft voice.
Yeah, that's fair. So, Fieries, explain it to me. Why Fieries? What happened there? What's going on?
Oh, man, bunch of reasons. We've been talking about, like, in my mate circle, we've been talking about it for a while. Like, you think about the lifestyle that comes with it, right? You work 2 days a week, basically. Mm-hmm. Get paid all right for working 2 days a week. Me and my mates, we like to keep fit. So you basically get to keep fit on the job. It's an interesting job for whenever you do work, because apparently they're also pretty quiet, so you sleep a lot on shift.
Brilliant.
Yeah, one of my favorite things. Plus, it's like it's a corny thing, but I've always wanted to do something like that
yep.
forever.
Because it's a big shift from what you do now. You're with
massive.
You're yeah. a Telstra manager.
Yeah, it's like project management.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And so you're just sort of shifting over to Fieries.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to obviously assume protecting people and saving people is a major part of that.
Yeah.
But what was the deciding factor of moving on? You had all those reasons, but what was that deciding factor?
The thing that probably tipped it is I'm also trying to become a pilot.
Okay.
So
how's that connect?
So, because I want to be a firefighter pilot. No. No, but basically, as fortunate as I am that I work from home every day, so it gives me a little bit of flexibility to do stuff. But basically, my day, at least 9 to 5, is gone for work.
Okay.
And if I want to fly, I need a lot of time to study and a lot of time to actually get in a plane and fly.
Uh huh.
So with the amount of downtime you get being a fiery, also I get the chance to study on shift. So the idea was transition out of my job, get into Fieries, give me time to actually work on my end goal, give me the time and capacity to do it. The only problem is Fieries being a government organization is very slow. So I started the process back in June, I think.
Okay.
We're now, what, in November, and I still don't know when my start date is.
So it's been, what, 6 months now?
Give or take.
What is the process? How'd you get into it? Like, if someone wanted to do Fieries, what are they doing?
So it's pretty detailed in what you got to do. It's not like a normal job. You just go for a job interview and off you go. So there's like an online psychometric test that they sort of open up to a recruitment class each year. So there's like a 2 week window every year usually.
2 weeks.
Yeah, well we go through this. They didn't do last year because of COVID.
Uh-huh.
So it's been 2 years since the last recruitment class. So the psychometric test is just tests your natural aptitude, how you would answer certain questions. There's a work safe questionnaire thing. So there's basically where you sit on a certain bell curve.
Okay.
Basically you don't want to be the top couple of percent, because they feel that you're too smart, and smart people are not malleable.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. They want people that'll be like, you're smart. But like, you will follow the rules, what they tell you.
You're not too smart to say, I know a better way of doing it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there was a lot of applicants. I think I heard numbers like between 10 or 18,000 applicants.
Dead set.
Yeah. Out of those applicants, 800 made it through to the next phase.
They take it down from 10,000 to 800.
Yeah.
That's about 92%.
Yeah. It's quick maths.
Wow. I guess I'm one of those, you know, too smart for it.
Sorry, Ray.
So what's the test like? What are you doing?
So it's basically, it's a lot. I don't know if you've ever done an aptitude test before.
Yep.
It's all multiple choice. It's timed. I think it was 20 minutes.
Okay.
Give or take, whatever it is. It's maybe 50 questions, 40 questions. I can't remember. Basically, it's too many questions to answer every single one in the time. They don't expect you to answer every single one. What they're looking for is the amount of right answers you get in that time. So my trick was, and a lot of the questions as well, is like they give up four or five images on a screen and it's like which two images don't match the rest of the images. And then you get multiple choice which ones to pick. And then there was alternate ones which were maths related. Mm-hmm. So it was like Becky has 15 apples, John has 5 apples, Ray has 2 apples. How do you split them all evenly so everybody has the same amount of apples, but Frank will also get 2 apples or something like that?
And you're trying to do that in a quick time frame.
Yeah. So basically my tactic was skip all of those ones.
Okay, smart.
Because you can come back to it later if you've got time at the end. So I'm like, I'm just going to skip everything that requires me to think more than 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I basically went through the whole test and then came back and could spend a little bit of time working through those ones.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that worked.
Okay, and then you get through to the next phase, which is?
The physical test, or physical aptitude test.
Okay.
So in that test, there's a series of exercises you have to do.
On-site?
On-site. So there's fireys there, trainers, and they sort of walk you through it. The first stage was basically just to see how comfortable you are. So you dress up in the full fiery outfit, so helmet, full gear, so jacket, pants. You wear ankle weights to simulate the boots. The oxygen tank. And then so you got to do an exercise where they put a mask over your face, but it's taped over, so it's still black for you.
Okay.
And then they want you to crawl around a room with obstacles and things and just listen to the instructions of the firefighter that's there. And the whole purpose of that test, there's no objective for you to do it in a certain amount of time or find something. It's basically you don't freak out. It's like a claustrophobia test that you don't freak out. You get through that. There's like a shoulder press exercise. Literally one rep.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Just to see if you're strong enough to pull a ladder up.
Okay.
But it's on a pulley.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, the gym pulleys, right? Where you can use momentum and launch it.
Yeah.
It's got constant tension the whole way.
Oh, well.
So even like the strong guys, no one's doing it fast because you're just constantly just
pushing up.
So it's actually harder than you think.
Okay.
But same thing. You got to do one rep. No time limit. Just can you do it? Then after that starts the timed section of it. So the next section was a 15-minute block. And it's 15 minutes no matter what.
Okay.
And there's 4 exercises you had to do. So it starts off with a jerry can carry. So you got to do, 6.5 laps of a 30-meter course carrying a 20-kilo jerry can. And so you basically just want to see that you're capable of walking and controlling the jerry can.
So they basically put you through an AMRAP there?
What's that?
Like as many reps per minute?
No, so you just got to do the course.
Oh, so you're just doing the course in that time limit.
Yeah. So, but the 15 minutes is, you got to do all 4 exercises within 15 minutes. Not 15 minutes for that course, then 15 for the next one. It was a jerry can walk. Then you got to go up and down a step with a 15-kilo jerry can, I think 40 times or something like that. After that, you go into, there's 3 static holds of like this weight, the shape. So you know how the fireys have the like the jaws of life or the circular saws and stuff like that. So this simulates you having to do something like that. So you got to hold it for 45 seconds in 3 different positions.
Okay, so they're being very practical with these.
Oh yeah, it's all super practical. Physical.
That's trippy because when I did the I applied for reserves about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
When I did the reserves, it was so basic. Like the aptitude test was very similar, but they called us into a psych test. Yeah, so you sat in front of a psychiatrist and she tried to push your buttons.
Yeah.
But then when we got to the physical, it was literally, I think it was 20 push-ups, 40 sit-ups and 7.5 on the beep test.
Yeah.
So it was nothing.
Yeah, that was like old school fireys. They still had practical tests too, but they also had a beep test requirement.
Okay.
But they've pulled that out of the requirement for whatever reason.
Fair enough.
Then the final thing of the 15-minute block is you got to carry this simulated like a hose drag, and it's on a weight. Same thing as the pulley. It's like got a constant tension on it. And same thing, you're going to do six pulls across the circuit. So that's 30 meters. And you have 15 minutes to do it. If you take longer than 15 minutes, then you drop off.
You failed. Yep.
If you do it quicker, then you get rest for the rest of that 15-minute period. So
okay.
So that's what I mean. Like it's 15 minutes no matter what.
Yep.
So I finished in about 12 minutes.
Nice.
So it gave me 3 minutes to get my breath back. Because it's when you do individually, so we did like an induction 2 weeks prior and we just did everything like here and there. It was like, yeah, this is all easy. But when you do it all back to back, fully geared up, it was a hot day, like
it's different.
Yeah, yeah.
Did it mess with you mentally at all?
Not that section. So that section I was comfortable because they go, the 15 minutes is timed. You could do the whole thing at a walking pace. Mm-hmm. So that was fine. Then after that, you go to the last section, which is a 2 minute block. And there's two exercises to do. In that, so what was the first one? This is probably the bit I was most worried about. So there's like a crawl where you're dragging across that same hose across 30 meters, but you're on like a carpet that's on concrete. It kills your knees, destroys your knees.
That's full on. And they're just trying to get every single aspect of the job into basically, you to see if you can do it.
Yeah. So I did. And you have your own sort of designated trainer that's talking you through the whole thing.
Okay. Is that encouraging or is that like...
That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they're not trying to make you fail. They want you to pass. So they'll tell you how you're going on time or anything like that.
I think that's probably the one thing that people don't realize when you go into these situations is that the cops, the fireys, reserves, like my experience with the reserves was the exact same thing. They were pushing you.
Yeah.
They wanted you to succeed. It's not that... You know, boot camp sort of style you see in the movies.
Yeah.
Until you get to boot camp, but
yeah, I'm sure some like extreme military, they're like they actually want
not
want you to fail, but they want you to pass. But you have to hit the highest.
They hit that limit.
So yeah, so I did the crawl, and when I did it on the practice day, I did it on like a minute 10 seconds or something, which was fine to do the last exercise. So I told the guy, I go, just give me a heads up. How I go when I stand up. And he goes, you got 30 seconds, you got to push it. So I got up, basically ran back to the start, and you got to do, it's like a life-saving carry. So you got to pick up this weight. It's about 30 kilos or something.
Yep.
And drag it back 10 meters, but keeping your head below 1.5 meters.
So that, the smoke and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
This honestly sounds like the time of your life. I'm not going to lie to you. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like a decent workout at the gym.
Honestly, if it wasn't for the stress of like, if I fail this, I don't get into this where I want to go. If it was at the gym or something, but this isn't that.
So when you get into a situation like that and you're forced to think about, you know, my career's on the line, I've got all of these things coming at me. Do you buckle under that pressure? Do you like that pressure? Or
no, it was good, particularly in that. So I had to miss my flight. So we went on our holiday, big holiday after COVID, right? And Jane and Eden had gone off to America already. And I was like, I knew it was like a bit of a struggle for her to fly by herself with Eden like so far. And I was like, man, I can't fail on this.
Yeah.
You know? So the whole time I'm like, nah, I can't fail. And like, so I literally finished that last block with 4 seconds to go.
Far out.
My knees were wrecked. Like, my knees hurt for like a month after that. It's like, just destroyed it.
So you found the motivation and you just
basically
hit it?
Yeah, it's like one of those things, just grit your teeth, just...
Yeah, get
like,
it done.
Get it done. Like, this is not something you got to redo or something.
Is that hard to find for a normal person, you reckon?
That, like, to be honest, that's not the hardest thing. Like, particularly in like, you know, our circle, we've all played footy, you've done stuff. It's like, you just grit your teeth and push through. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, for sure. So then after that?
After that, what goes next?
Oh, wow. Bless you, bro. You're choking here.
Yeah, I know. No, because we got tonsillitis a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, our throats are just...
And so you decided to do a podcast a few weeks later.
Mate, at work, I talk literally all day. So
yeah, that's
it's fair. Been fine. And today is just...
Yeah. Listen, I have the same problem, except it's not tonsillitis. It's the amount I scream on Friday night at the kids.
Man, I heard you guys the other night, and that was...
I heard it was loud, bro.
Very loud.
Man, I couldn't believe it, because we went for, I think it was an hour or 45 minutes longer than we were meant to. And it flew by in there, but I didn't realize how loud we were.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, it was pretty loud.
It was different, because normally on a Friday night, we have 60 kids, 50 to 60. We had 35.
But do you guys always have like the megaphone or the microphone?
So the microphone we've never had before. That was a first because I was losing my voice. And Angie, the saint, just goes, hey, we have a microphone in the cupboard. Use it. I was like, this is a game changer. And yeah. But yeah, that's why I never have a voice too. So I'm with you there.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's not like I had a big night or anything like that.
Nah. I wish. Anyway, so physical's done.
Yeah.
Then?
Then the very next day, so providing you pass the physical,
mm-hmm.
you actually have to go into the office, to the head office, and redo the psychometric test.
Really?
Because the first time you do it, you just do it by yourself at home.
Uh-huh.
So they want to validate that you didn't cheat and get help.
Okay.
So it's not like you need to meet your score or hit a certain score.
They just want to see a similar...
They just want to see a similar pattern of answers, and then you're through. So I was not worried about that. Then after that, so basically I got to go away for my holiday for 2 months, come back, and then it was a face-to-face interview. and so their interview process is same thing. It's a bit unique, I guess, to that environment.
Okay.
So there's three stages. So there was I haven't had to write long form since school. I left school many years ago.
So you don't do long form for work or anything like that?
I do, but it's on a computer and it's like, to be honest, there's a lot of copy paste.
Oh, wait, it was handwritten. Yeah,
handwritten.
Oh, that is the worst, bro.
Yeah. So I'm like, and all the guys in the room, same situation. And so we're all like joking. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what to write about and how to write. And so they just ask you a question. It was like, you know, how do you feel you would fit within fire and rescue?
Yeah.
And how do you think the organization needs to operate, or something along those lines? And it's basically just write for 20 minutes.
Far out.
In the end, they just tell you, they go, we don't really care too much about your content, just that it's legible, you know how to speak English, makes sense, it flows. It's
really a different way to just figure out what type of education level you're at, eh?
Basically.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so they get you through that whole process, and is that it?
Yeah, so I've got a medical that I've still got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 98% sure I'm going to
pass it.
Like, I've done medicals recently for flying as well, and I got through that fine. So,
and then
that's it. And then just got to find my training class. And same as everything, they go, the failure rate out of the training class is like ridiculously low, because the whole intent is that you pass and become a fiery.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to go, oh, we only want 10% of the trainees to get through. It's like, we want everyone to get through.
Well, at that point, they've sort of weeded it all out, right? Exactly. They've weeded out not the weak ones, but the ones that couldn't take it, the ones that couldn't hack it. And now it's like, okay, this is the crop. We can work with them.
Yeah.
How many dropped from... So you said that initial was 10,000 to 800.
Yeah.
How many dropped from that second step, do you know?
I don't know the numbers. I think 500 got through physicals.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's... And they're not even after out of that, like a certain number.
Yeah.
They just want you to keep ticking boxes all the way through.
That's it.
So if all 500 people that get through the physical tick the next box, then they'll keep taking them.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mind you, if they take on 500 people, each training class is about 20 people and goes for 3 months. So that means they've got applicants for the next how many years?
So are you, when you go to the training class, it's nearby, isn't it?
It's out Penrith way.
Okay, so it's in Penrith. Do you have to stay there? Are you?
Nah, it's 7 to 3 for 3 months.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, there's like some few longer days and
of course
to do, but it's like going back to school.
So feel the fiery, mate.
we'll see.
Congrats, bro. Keep it going. That's pretty cool. Any advice for anyone that wants to try it or get into it? Because it's a pretty grueling process after all of that.
Yeah, like physically, man, I literally had not been in the gym for like 2 years. And then maybe 3-4 months before I just started going back to the gym.
Really? So you haven't been for 3 years.
Yeah, basically most of COVID period.
You do not look at all, bro.
Yeah, there's some tummy fat coming on. Yeah.
Far out.
I just hide it well.
If only I could be like that and just not go to the gym. That'd be a lifesaver.
No, but like, serious. Like, if anyone's reasonably fit, you'll be fine. Maybe go to the gym or something and try some of those. Because you can sort of mimic the exercises, right? In terms of the psychometric test, there's no tips. There's like my tactic is just try to go through as fast as you can. Don't spend too long on each question. Mm-hmm. In terms of the work safety and risk assessment questions that they ask you, you have to be pretty honest. I tried that when I applied 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I learned don't be too honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So it's basically the trick, and I heard this from someone else, was think of the question as starting off with in an ideal world. So, for example, one of the questions is it wrong to take a pencil from work? Right?
In an ideal world, yes.
And then they give you, it's a scale of, every question has a scale of 5 answers, you know, it goes from strongly disagree all the way to strongly agree. And well, if you think about it logically, right, I've worked in an office, most people have worked in an office or some sort of environment, right? Stationery is there for the people to take.
Uh-huh.
Right? So is it wrong to take a pencil from work? Well, no.
Okay.
But then you got to think, in an ideal world, is it wrong to take a pencil from work? No.
Interesting.
And then there's different variations. So it's quite a long questionnaire.
It's like a full ethics dilemma. Yeah, yeah. That's full on.
Yeah, it's ethics without getting too deep.
Yeah.
They're basically just going to say, do the right thing. Do what we tell you. Don't steal. Don't, you know.
Yeah.
So basically, you've got to answer the question with how you think they'd want, but not too far.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go too extreme, so every single question is like strongly agree or strongly disagree with the right way, then they go, well, we think you're lying.
Interesting.
So you've got to scale it.
You've got to scale it to a proper, like, reasonable sort of... That's trippy.
Yeah.
That would play with my head, man.
It makes sense once you do it. So, for example, there's another question. It's, do you often get into physical altercations?
Uh-huh.
Right? So, for that one, always strongly disagree.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't want someone that's always getting into a fight. whereas that take a pencil question, right? Maybe go agree instead of strongly agree. So sort of like...
Or neutral or something like that.
Yeah, temper your answer a little bit. Because when you finished it, it's called a Revlon. The system is Revlon.
Okay.
A company that does. I don't even know what it is. But basically, they email you your results within a week.
Okay.
And they show you on a bell curve where you sit in all of the people that have done, like, your group. So out of that 10,000 people, they show you sort of, are you the 90th percentile, 10th percentile, all of that. So when I did it 2 years ago in the risk and safety one, because I answered it truthfully, I'm just going to try every single question 100% truthfully. I was in like the bottom 10%.
Dead set. That far down.
Yeah, in terms of the work risk factor.
Far out.
Because there was questions like, do you know someone that has smoked marijuana?
Yeah.
Everybody has.
100%.
Literally everybody has. But you have to answer no. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit...
It's fuzzy.
Yeah.
It's a weird way of doing things.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what they're looking for. It's a system that works for them.
Exactly. Like, sort of, you understand where they're coming from, so you sort of answer your questions to how they want you to, basically.
Interesting.
But yeah, if you want to do it for anyone, it's like just... Apparently, you've got to keep trying. Like, so obviously for me, it was my second application to get through. A lot of people have applied like 5, 6, 7 times.
And haven't gotten it.
Not get through, or they'll get through on their 7th or 8th time.
Dead cert. So when do they do the intake per year?
Usually around the middle of the year.
Okay.
The recruitment process starts the middle of the year. The intake for my recruitment class starts January next year.
Mm-hmm.
But... From what I've been told, the first class has already been filled,
mm-hmm.
and it goes for 3 months. So my earliest start date will be March or April. So could be later, depending where I'm fit.
Nice, man. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
It's different. It's I wasn't expecting it when I first found out. I was like, oh, Phil Lafari, okay, no worries. And then when you said the whole you want to be a pilot thing and all that, I was like, yeah, he's always said that. So, okay, yeah. I see the logic here.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But it's cool. Like, it's different. I mean, basically, I fell into my job at Telstra.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that will, like, he brought me in. I literally came in for an interview, but it was a little bit of a show interview. Like,
yeah,
they just checked, oh, yeah, you're a normal guy. You're fine.
And how long ago was that?
That was 11 years ago.
Far out. So you've been there 11 years.
Yeah, that's when our church hosted MBF, literally on premise.
Dead set. So you, wow, 2011.
Yeah, so.
Wowza.
I literally left MBF,
uh-huh.
Went to the city, interviewed, came back. I got back and then they called me and they go, yeah, you got the job. When do you want to start?
11 years later. How is it, like you're in your 30s now, right?
Yes.
Okay, how is it like changing majorly careers in that age category, especially after you got married?
Yeah.
Like you got married, you had a kid and you're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to change my career path.
Yeah, without getting like too deep and corny and all of that, right? My whole life has been pretty cruisy. I've sort of just like followed the easy path, right?
Yeah, whatever came out.
Yeah, like I went to uni because I got into uni at it like before HSC. So I just went, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Had a job at a hotel for 5 years just because I got the internship and then they offered me the job. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'll keep doing it.
I've always said, you want to describe Phil, it's comfortable.
Yeah, but that's the problem, loving right? It.
Yeah.
That's like, it's cool, but at the same time, it gets to a point where you're like, nah, you have to.
I need
to
something
it.
Different.
You know, like, you need to actually follow, and you'll be careful, right? Not this whole follow your heart, because,
yeah.
Like, you can go down a wrong
a
path.
A very weird easy. Path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very quickly.
But it's sort of like, you need to go where your passions are. You need to obviously walk with God, go down that path. For me, I literally just, whatever opened up for me, I just went and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my big peeve that, like, when I look back on life, right, like, I already feel like I'm old, but yeah, mid-30s. We'll see if some people say that's old or young.
You're getting there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's why I'm wearing a hat. like, I look back and most missteps I've taken in my life, right, you try to look back and you go, actually, I'll just take that as a learning experience. How do I go further? Now that I've got a child, what? In like wisdom and knowledge can I pass on to her so that she doesn't make the same mistakes. So that's what it takes with most, but there's like a few things that you kind of regret.
Okay.
And for me, it was listening to some really bad career advice way back in high school, right? And that career advice was basically, I always wanted to be a pilot. I knew from like a young age, I wanted to be a pilot. Basically my career advisors and stuff looked at me like, nah, you're too tall.
Too tall?
Yeah. I'm not even that like, sure, I'm taller.
But what's that got to do with anything?
Man, you tell me. Because apparently they all have this thing in their mind where you can't be too tall.
Otherwise, you duck to get in the doorway. I didn't get it.
Well, I wanted to be a fighter pilot originally.
Okay, sure. This, Top Gun it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice.
Literally. I was born in 86. Top Gun 1 came out in 86.
It's a phenomenal career path.
Top Gun 2 should have come out last year. Eden was born last year. It was like, it's all meant to be, right?
100%. Mate, go on the beach, play some volleyball, shoot some planes down. I'm a fan.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically I listened to stupid career advice way back when.
I've noticed that a lot though. Like my career advisor, I wanted to be an electrician.
Yep.
Really just because I wanted to get out of school.
Yeah.
And he said to me, no, don't leave school in year 10. Because you want to go to uni. I go, no, I don't. That's the last thing I want to do is go to uni. I've got no need to go to uni. He goes, yeah, but if you stay, you could be the class captain. That's the last, like, no, like what? And so I stayed an extra 6 months and then ended up dropping out anyway because I was like, yeah, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like they always push in a weird direction, those career advisors.
Yeah, so exactly that. And so because of that, I followed that easy path. And here I am, like, at 35, I'm like, had a kid, and I'm like, you know what, I don't want her growing up and just see me doing this random office drone job, hating life, hating going to work. And it's like, there is a balance that I want to give her of like, follow your dreams, follow your passions.
Be realistic.
Follow your heart.
Quote unquote. But be realistic at the same time.
Be realistic, be smart.
Yeah.
So I always said, if one day she comes to me and she goes, I want to go do an arts degree. Cool. You're going to double major. You're going to do an economics degree or something, right?
Yeah.
Because like, let's be honest, arts is not going to get you very far.
Yeah.
So like with my life, I don't think I really had that good counsel.
Saying.
Yeah.
Go for it, but be safe when you do it.
Yeah, because like I literally went from, I want to be a pilot. They go, nah, you can't be a pilot, you're too tall. To, oh yeah, hospitality is a good industry. Now I'm like, if Eden comes to me and she goes, I want to work in hospitality, I'm like, oh, cool. So you can save up money while you're doing what? You know?
Yeah.
That's not a career. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, sure, you can get to some levels of hospitality. You could go out, own your own restaurant, hotel, whatever, and there's opportunity. If that's the path you want to go, sure, I'll support that. But if it's like, nah, I just want to work in a hotel like I did, I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, you get paid no money. You'll work, like, to this day, the most stressful job I've had. And I just mean literally on the spot. Like,
oh, really?
Like, at least you had the benefit of, like, you clock off, you're done. You don't think about work. But on shifts, like, it's
constant.
It's crazy busy. Yeah.
There's got to be a lot to say about trying something that's crazy or seems crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, especially guys, we're sort of, especially from ethnic backgrounds, sort of built to think about our future and think about our future family and just make the smart decision, make the wise decision, make the smart choice. But, I mean, if God's got something different planned for you, you're sort of doing yourself a disservice by just doing that smart thing.
That's exactly one of the other things I was thinking about, right? And I do have a wife and kids. So I told Jane, because we talked about this, like, I'm not going to go do this if you're not on board, right? Because obviously, like, she's going to make sacrifices too.
100%.
And if she said, like, I don't think this is the right thing, I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go, I'll work hard in my current industry. I'll keep chasing that, and that'll be how I support the family. My rule as well with being a pilot or trying to be a pilot or anything like that, because like any career, any industry, there are good jobs and there are bad jobs. Mm. I'm not going to take up a really bad job that'll take me away from my family forever, pay me no money, just so I can fly.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a balance.
It's about tapering that dream or that lifelong dream and saying, okay, how can I take that dream, make it realistic and make it work for me, my family and... Yeah, lifestyle.
Exactly.
That's good.
So yeah, absolutely. We came up with that agreement. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to go work, fly in the farms, you know, outback Australia for 30 grand a year. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. But also not leave the country for 80 months at a time.
Well, we are both open because obviously we don't have familial ties to Australia. Obviously church is the closest thing we've got to family. Mm. Like, I grew up with nearly, you know, everyone there, right? But we're not really tied to Sydney or even Australia.
That's it. See, that's cool. I like that. So you guys would be willing to go like move 100%. To a different country and raise Eden somewhere else?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You've both got that adventurous spirit. Not a lot of people have that.
Yeah. So, and we've got options. We've got in-laws. Mm. So Jane's family, she's got a lot of family in Korea, obviously. We're not sure where her parents will end up because obviously they're still missionaries in Myanmar at the moment, but... They'll retire at some point.
Yeah.
And we've got her brother lives in America as well. So we've got plenty of options to like actually move close to family. If it opens up.
Nice.
If that's an option. So, yeah.
Well, we'll definitely talk about that when we do our double episode with the two of you sitting there.
Yeah.
Because I do want to pick both your brains about that whole lifestyle and all that. Because you guys had a very similar upbringing.
Yes.
In that you grew up in... ministry run homes and family that was in the ministry. So we'll get into that later. But before we close this off, mushrooms. I wasn't going to let this episode finish off without you getting your piece in. I didn't eat the mushrooms in Greece.
To this day,
yep.
The greatest mushrooms I've had in my life. And you wouldn't take one. And I had a plate of like 30 of them.
Okay, wait, before we get into this, like, let's make it very clear. We're talking about mushrooms, like actual mushrooms that you eat at the restaurant. I just realized that that sounds really weird.
Did this just go down a different podcast?
It went down a very different podcast. Now, Phil and I were in Greece. We went to Greece in 2018.
Yes.
That's 4 years ago now, bro.
Yes.
It feels like that, but it doesn't at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. There are some parts that feel very recent and other parts it's like it was a distant
memory. Actually feels like 10. I feel like that whole COVID, 2019 and COVID really...
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, did a lot. But yeah, we went to Greece together very randomly.
Very.
Now that I look back at it. We were both going there for Jamie's wedding and we were both like, oh, we're in Greece at the same time. Let's hang out. Let's do it.
Yep.
How, looking back at that now, how'd you find that whole trip? Well, that part of your trip, because you were there, you were on a long Europe trip that
time. Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty much the beginning. I stopped past Switzerland to see my mom, and then went straight to Greece in the Greek islands. I can't even remember the island that we went to.
Naxos.
Naxos, there you go.
Gorgeous place.
I remember you not being able to ride a bicycle.
No, I rode a bike. What are
you talking about? You stayed upright. I'll give you that. But you couldn't change gears. I remember that.
I don't remember that in the slight. You're probably right, but yeah.
I remember the, whatever it was, like $3 Euros that we kept going back to. Oh,
mate. That little mum and pop shop, bro. Oh,
so good.
Euros and feather cheese on the side. Just a dream.
At a certain point, it's excess.
I don't think so. You get, what was it? A kilo? Maybe 500 grams of feather cheese with every meal. You just add another 500. You're good.
The amount of times we walked out of a restaurant, there was still a whole slab of feta cheese.
There was never a whole slab.
All right, sorry, you took
it. There was a bite out of it or something that was great. But Greece, would you go back?
The islands, yes.
Islands were
not
good.
Not Mykonos.
Mykonos I hated too.
Agree.
Santorini, I was there for a night, but I loved it. I thought Santorini was great. I would definitely go to the random islands again.
Yeah, I would, yeah, 100% go Santorini again.
Yeah.
Especially now that I'm married. It's a weird place to go as a single guy. Or with a group of guys.
Yeah. Thankfully, we had more than just us two there.
Yes.
Yep. in saying that, when we chose Naxos, we literally went to the map and we pointed at a random place and we said, let's go there.
Yeah.
I don't regret that at all. That was great.
No, it was cool. That would really open it up. They'd be like, I would go to Santorini and just randomly whatever other islands.
Yeah. That was good. That's pretty much our whole thing. People say to me, oh, like, how close are you with Phil? I went to Greece with him for a week.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Maybe provide a little bit of color more than that.
Just a little bit?
Just a little bit, because...
we were there with the boys.
Yes.
And, we just...
Because Mykonos has a reputation. Mykonos so was You don't want to be two guys...
Mykonos was weird, man.
Yeah.
It felt like Australia. It didn't feel like I was in Greece. There were so many Aussies.
Yeah.
And there was literally nothing to do except... party and that whole thing. Like, it was just weird walking through those streets.
Yeah.
It was a trip out.
Yeah, it was fun. Quad biking was fun though.
Quad biking was very fun.
Yeah.
That was good.
And the mushrooms, always good.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't eat the mushrooms, ladies and gents. That's the moral of this story. Phil, thank you so much for doing this, brother. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Where can the people find you online?
No.
No?
I mean, you can find me, but I don't do anything online.
That's right. I'm thinking about it now. You're not on it anymore, eh?
Yeah. I'm an old man. Yeah. So I have Facebook and I have Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I have Facebook for Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And I have Twitter for the news.
Okay. So if you see Phil in the street, you can wave at him. He probably won't wave back, but is what it is.
If you want to find me online, you got to go through my wife.
That is true. Well, ladies and gents, thank you for watching another episode. You know where to find me, Ray Haddad 97. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Have a chat with Ray and Stat. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for talking to me, Phil.
Thanks, Ray.